B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper.
And Murray.
Gasper.
And Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper.
And Murray.
Gasper.
And Murray.
Good morning, 98.5 The Sports Hub here. Gasper and Murray. No Murray today. He decided to get a head start on the long weekend, so you got me, Christian Arcand, here with you alongside Mr. Chris Gasper, Channel 5 WCVB. We got you until 1 o'clock here on this Saturday, the official second day of summer, I guess. If yesterday was the first, it's nice to have you with us here today. We know there's a lot of options in terms of what you can do here to kick off your summer and kick off this weekend, and it's kind of one of those weird weekends where everybody's going to just be doing the same thing they've been doing for the last 3 months. But nonetheless, we appreciate you checking in and appreciate you staying with us here at 98.5 The Sports Hub. I am very excited about this show here today because I haven't seen you, Gasper, since this all started. Remember our first show when this started?
I know.
And you sat next to me and I said, no, social distance.
You did.
And you were like, social distance? what are you, lady? Or, no, you didn't say that, but you know what I mean.
I know what you're saying. No, you were ahead of the curve. You were ahead of flattening the curve.
I was.
Arcand.
Call me Dr. Arcand over here.
Yes.
But yeah, it's good to be talking to you again today, and not just because it's the beginning of summer, Gasper, but because it seems like there's an actual plan for sports to come back. Not all at once, obviously. It's going to take still some doing here to get these leagues back up and going again, but at least in the last 24, 48, maybe 72 hours, if you want to extend it to the NBA and some things we learned from Spencer Dinwiddie earlier this week, I'd say that those three sports in particular, the NFL, they've been going along like everything's fine and they're going to start on time and don't worry about us, we're the NFL and we'll be there for you in September. But as for the NBA, the NHL, both who had their seasons interrupted, and Major League Baseball, who never even got off the ground out of spring training, it seems as though for all three of those sports, significant steps have been made here in the last couple of days to get all of those things back up and going. Now, first, before we get into the nitty-gritty and the details of all of this, Gasper, how are you feeling in terms of optimism that these sports are going to be able to return here and that no one's just going to shut down and say, to hell with it, we'll come back next season?
I'm feeling pretty good, Arcand. I mean, I think when you look at it, MLB's been sort of agitating to get back from the beginning. And Rob Manfred has admitted that it's a little more challenging for them, and they need to get back because they never started their season, and it really hit them from a revenue standpoint, whereas, like, you know, the other leagues got, you know, about 75-80% through their season.
Right.
And then I think with the NBA, you know, I spoke to some people involved in the NBA this week, and there's really momentum building for them to return. I think at this point, it's not whether the NBA is going to return, it's just the method of return. And then with the NHL, you had that vote of the NHLPA, and it sounds like they're willing to return. They just have to iron out this playoff format, and they're going to go. So this is as optimistic as I have been about the return of sports.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. It seemed as though there was a lot of talk and a lot of, I thought at the time, pie in the sky kind of ideas about playing football in a Thunderdome or playing the NBA season on a cruise ship or playing, you know, what all these ridiculous ideas that I never really thought were all that realistic. And then things started to get a little bit more grounded, I think, with the suggestions like Arizona's open. We can play all the season in Arizona with all these minor league fields everywhere and facilities. Florida's opening up. We could do that same thing over there. And whatever you think about Arizona and Florida, at least that was something real. It was something tangible. It was a state that was given permission and would give permission to these leagues to come and operate there, which is, I think, a really important part of all of this. What the government says in each one of these states and when they want to open and how they want to open, I think, is of the utmost importance here in trying to get all of these teams back. Unless the NBA goes ahead with their, you know, bubble program down in Disney, and then it doesn't matter. TD Garden, Boston, whatever Walsh and Baker say, doesn't really apply to what happens down there. With that being said, let's go ahead and start with the NHL because I think they made the most progress here. They voted to approve the 24-team conference-based playoff format for the restart of the season. And that's just the format that they voted on. Okay, we're going to have all these extra teams. The top four teams in each conference will play each other for seeding. And then the other 16 teams, or I think 12 teams, are going to have a play-in round robin. And then all the top seeds will have a bye. So the Bruins will have a bye no matter what their seeding is. But that's what they voted on. The details that need to be negotiated still have a lot to get to here in terms of health, in terms of compensation.
Yep. Well, even the format, there's some tweaking to the format. In other words, I think the players are curious. They want to know, okay, how is this going to work? Like, right. What I read was that the players want to do like reseeding, so that if one of those teams from 17 to 24 happens to win their first round and get in, then they don't want like the number one seed to be locked into playing 8-9. They would want the number one seed overall to be able to play basically the lowest remaining seed.
Right.
So that's from the players. And then I think there's also sort of an argument, like with those top four in each conference, are they just playing to play and stay warm, or are they playing like a round robin to actually determine the seeding, which could absolutely screw a team like the Bruins? All of a sudden you could drop from 1 to 4. If when you're doing the round robin, that actually counts for something instead of just basically warm-up games just to stay warm while the other teams figure out, you know, who's in the real playoffs.
So who are the top seed? It's the Bruins, the Flyers, the Capitals, and
the Lightning.
And the Lightning. That's tough. I mean, that's tough to start with right there.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be really unfair to the Bruins if it's like, yeah, now we're going to come back after 3 months and we're going to play this little round-robin tournament. And if you don't do well in it, you're not the number one seed when you were clearly going to be the number one seed. You're like the 4 seed now.
Yeah.
It's like, really? I mean, there's no home ice because it's going to be in these hub places, but I still think that that's – and I tend to agree with the players. I mean, I think that they should reseed the whole thing. There's no way that whoever is the number one seed should be locked into playing 8 or 9, and somebody else could end up playing like a team like the Canadiens, who were not even going to sniff the playoffs, but somehow, you know, gets through – in the first round of this format. That makes no sense.
Yeah, I don't think any of this makes sense, and I'm surprised it got approved. I really don't think that any of the changes that they made here make any lick of sense whatsoever. You could have just started the playoffs. Start them right up. Start them with the seeding that you have right now. Sorry, Montreal. We know you're really important to the culture of hockey and everything, but we just got to get going, and you weren't close enough to the playoffs. That's the way it is. We're all making sacrifices. And it's not like you're sacrificing a playoff spot. You weren't in a playoff position right now. So nothing's really changed for you. You just don't have a chance to get in. Sorry about that. Sorry to all the teams on the bubble. We don't have time for the bubble this year. We just got to go to the postseason. I don't understand why they didn't just do that.
I'm with you. You know, it sort of reminds me of, you know, the movie Man of Steel?
Man of Steel? Shaq?
No, the Superman movie, Man of Steel.
Oh, with Henry, what's his name?
Yeah, okay. You know the part where he, like, flies into the ship, and the guy's like, if you destroy the ship, you destroy Krypton. He destroys it anyway and says, Krypton had its chance. Yeah, the Canadians had their chance. You played 71 games. You weren't in position. I mean, you had your opportunity. You had 71 games. You have 71 points. We're moving on. Like, that's really what should happen. And I feel the same way in the NBA, too, Arcan.
Yeah.
Like how unfair would it be for the NBA to come back and play regular season games, and a team like Memphis, who was up 3.5 games for the final spot in the West, suddenly they lose out to Portland? It's like Portland played 68, 69 games. Portland had its chance. Like, we're moving on.
Yeah, and according to Spencer Dinwiddie, if you saw what he tweeted earlier this week, sounds like they're going to play 5 more NBA games. At least that's what the plan is right now. Dinwiddie tweeted out, someone said to him, oh, you guys are coming back in June. And he said, no, that's just practice. Then we're going to play the last 5 regular season games sometime in July, which people, that was the breaking news there is, okay, we got a date. But also, what? You're going to play regular season games? You're not just going to start right up into the playoffs, which might be a good thing for the Celtics, because right now, as things are situated, they're matched up with the Philadelphia 76ers, whom they lost to 3 out of 4 times this year. So I don't think that's a great first round matchup for them. I'd much rather the Pacers or one of those other teams down at the bottom, Brooklyn or Orlando or one of those teams. Yeah, sign me up for that. Not necessarily chomping at the bit to get another crack fully healthy Philadelphia 76ers team, assuming Simmons is back by then in July. But there's another one right there. The NBA probably being a little more secretive about it than the NHL is, but they seem to have the location lockdown with Disney. That, according to everybody, Shams and Woj and everybody are saying, it looks like Disney's going to be the place, that complex down there in Disney World, the ESPN complex.
The worldwide of sports complex.
Right, and that's where it's going to – I think MLS is looking to open up down there as well. But the NBA, it seems like that's their spot. And, again – assuming that everything sort of works and they can get up and started again here and get everybody at, from where they are to that place or to their local markets. I know a lot of Celtics aren't in town right now, and the Celtics and the Raptors and I think the Knicks have all asked the league, hey, instead of bringing everybody back to Boston and Toronto and New York City, can we just go straight to Florida right now and get this thing going, which to me signals a real effort here to kind of get this thing going and try and hit these dates. How are you feeling about the NBA's relaunch?
Oh, it's happening. Like I said, I talked to some folks in the league this week, and the momentum is there. They feel like they're going to play. It's just a question of sort of distilling it down to the method that they'll do it and the manner they'll do it. I think there is maybe a little frustration in some of these locales that you mentioned that haven't opened up yet. I'll be honest, and I don't mean this in a critical way, but I am a little baffled as to why the Celtics can't open their practice facility. And I saw a story that Danny Ainge had in the Boston Herald with Steve Bolpet, talking about this would be one of the safest places. I'm looking at Governor Baker's reopening plan and seeing like youth sports can start in some fashion in phase two, and the NBA, like the Celtics can't open the Auerbach Center with four guys in there at a time, each working with one individual who's assigned, who's wearing a mask and gloves and rebounding for them, and everybody's staying 12 feet apart and they're wiping everything down like immediately. Why is the Auerbach Center not open? That makes no sense to me, to be honest.
Doesn't make any sense to Danny Ainge either. If you read the latest from Ty Anderson, actually it was Ainge talking to Steve Bolpet over at the Boston Herald.
Yeah.
But Ty has it up on 98.5 The Sports Hub right now. This is the quote from Ainge. I mean, we're hoping it's open any day. We're just waiting to hear. It's not that complicated, Ainge continued. What we're trying to do is have one-on-zero workouts. It's probably the cleanest environment anybody's working at in the country, except for this room right here, Danny, with the sanitation that has to go on and the coaches wearing masks and gloves. I mean, heck, it doesn't even seem that complicated.
I think a little frustration starting to build with the Celtics. I think the Celtics thought there was a chance they could open this week. Obviously, it didn't happen. And obviously, they're being respectful and waiting to hear from the governor. But I think there's a little bit of like, hey, we've done everything we can. Do you realize that at least this was at last check? This was middle of the week, Arcan. 20 of the 30 NBA facilities were already open.
Wow.
And that number maybe has gone up since then. Hmm. So the Celtics are in the minority here in terms of places that can't open.
Do you think that, and I know this is sort of a big question right now to ask right before the break, but is Massachusetts dragging their feet here? Do you think there's an issue with this? Do you think that there's going to be damage done by the fact that that this state seems to be being much more careful than a lot of other ones?
I'll keep it just to sports.
Okay.
Because I'm not qualified to really talk about the other stuff. From a sports standpoint, yes. I mean, when you have Gavin Newsom, and I wrote about this on WCVB.com, I do think Governor Baker's dragging his feet with the sports teams. Because when you look at Gavin Newsom in California saying, like, oh, I think we can do sports.
Big 180 stuff. For him, by the
Big
way.
Big 180,
huh?
yeah, that we can do sports by, June. And Governor Cuomo in New York is saying he wants to get the sports going. And he's just been, I think a lot of these other governors have just been a lot more emphatic and vocal and detailed about getting sports going. And when I look at the Auerbach Center, I feel like that should be open. Right? There's no reason for that not to be open, especially when you're talking about Monday. Offices outside of Boston in the state of Massachusetts are going to be able to open to 25% capacity. Having four players in there at a time with someone rebounding for them wearing masks and gloves, I mean, that's less than 25%. So they should be able to open. Maybe they will on Monday, but honestly, they should already be open. Like, I don't know what the holdup is.
Yeah, we're all a little confused by that. None more than Danny Ainge. He even used the H word in that interview with Steve Bolpet. He said, heck, right
That's
there,
big.
Right through his
That's
face.
Big. Yeah, the H word's big.
He doesn't just drop that willy-nilly, by the way.
No.
617-779-0985 is the phone number. Who are you waiting for to come back the most? What do you miss the most right now? Which player do you miss the most? Which team do you miss the most? We've been watching lots of classic Celtics, so can't be Larry Bird. I've been seeing more of Larry Bird this week in the last 3 months than I did my entire childhood, which is amazing. But, I'm curious out there. Celtics fans, Bruins fans, Red Sox fans, if there's any left, are you missing your team? Right now, who do you miss the most? What are you most looking forward to seeing reopen? 617-779-0985 is the phone number. We're off and running. Arcan and Gasper here on a Saturday.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. Arcan in for Murray alongside Chris Gasper, Channel 5 WCVB. Nice to have you with us here this morning. We're with you until 1 o'clock. Brian T. Robb behind the glass taking your phone calls at 617-779-0985. I think the last time the three of us all worked together, right? B-Rob, correct me if I'm wrong, was right before B-Rob got quarantined for being a little too close to Marcus Smart. Is that correct?
That'd be correct.
That's right. And then you got you were not allowed back in the building. They quarantined you for 2 weeks. No symptoms. Did you get the test?
No test.
They didn't even test you, huh? Well, consider yourself lucky because that test looks like it really sucks. They just jam that thing right in your face.
That looks tough.
You know how dumb I am, Gasper, by the way? I didn't know this until I saw a video of it. I didn't realize that you can put, like, to take the test, they put it up your nose, but it really goes in your nose. It doesn't go up your nose. It goes, like, in your face, you know, like, straight in.
And I went to, like, the sinus cavity.
Right, but I didn't realize that that's what your face looked like. I thought that it went up, like, I thought it went up, not in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I thought it just went straight up. And so I see people getting the thing, like, driving it right in. And I said, how's that possible? I thought it goes up your nose. No, it goes in your nose, which looks even worse, to be honest with you. But, yeah, that's the last time the three of us were all in this room together. So nice that we're all sort of back and that sports are almost sort of back here. We're getting very, very close to this, I believe, as we just talked about the NHL and, of course, the NBA. There's the little matter of Major League Baseball. And before we get to that, the number, again, is 617-779-0985. Who are you most missing? Celtics fans, I know you're dying to see Jason Tatum do that little sidestep jumper again. Bruins fans, I feel like Bruins fans is the answer here. The Bruins have to be the answer here. The Bruins were the best team in the NHL. You wouldn't necessarily know it from talking to a Bruins fan today because it seems like all Bruins fans are worried, oh, God, now we're going to get Montreal in the first round. That's going to suck. But at least Bruins fans are realistic. Celtics fans, you'd think that this team was the Bucks. You'd think that they had won 65 games already this year and that they were going to cruise right to the NBA championship. I don't necessarily think that for the Celtics, but I do think Celtics fans are really gnashing their teeth waiting for this team to come back, maybe even more so than the Bruins, which I think is astonishing considering the fact that the Bruins were the best team in hockey. they were the favorites to win the Stanley Cup this year. Celtics aren't even the best team in their own division. it's amazing the way these fan bases view their teams. But anyway, that's the question here. Who are you missing the most? Who are you most wishing will come back first, I guess? 617-779-0985. With that in mind, I know one answer we're not going to get here, and that's the Boston Red Sox, which I don't think there was a lot of buzz going into this season anyway. And now that Major League Baseball has, they made their proposal. The union will be countering on Tuesday, and that will hopefully lead to another round of negotiations here that don't really seem to be going anywhere. I'm not sure if that's just my view from the outside looking in, Gasper. You might have some more insight. But does baseball stand a chance if they can't get out of the gate here with these negotiations on two pretty important things here, compensation and safety? You got to be able to get those two locked down.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about it. And, you know, safety obviously is first and foremost, but I think MLB has created its own problem here in terms of the financials. And I don't know, different people are on different sides of this thing, but it's gotten pretty nasty. I mean, that leaked email from MLB that Joel Sherman had in the New York Post, where MLB is basically stating their case that the union understood all along that if the games were played without fans, they'd have to reopen the agreement they had in March. And just to refresh people's memories, that was an agreement where the Players Association said, we'll take $170 million up front of the $4 billion in salaries you would owe us in a normal season. And if no games are played, that's all you owe us is $170 million out of $4 billion, which I thought was a trash deal for the union at the time. It's even more of a trash deal if the games get played and now they don't get their prorated salaries. So I don't get that one. I'm on the player side on that one, Arkan, just because I don't care what MLB says and the owners say. If it really would cost them more money to play the season than to not play the season, then they wouldn't want to play the season. They're cooking the books there. It doesn't make sense. They would not agitate so much to want to play the season if they were going to lose more money or the same amount of money playing the season than just sitting it out. Otherwise, they just sit it out.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
It's almost like they're throwing their leverage away if they even had it to begin with.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're bluffing that they have. I don't know exactly what's going on.
It just doesn't make sense. And I agree with the players union. When the money's really good and it's a good year, they don't say, hey, you know what? You guys should get a little more money because, you know, MLB kicked butt this year. We made a ton of money. But now in a global pandemic, like, there are lots of companies that are in bad shape or lots of industries that are having to eat money and taking losses. And this is my other thing on this that I always say, Arkan, these franchises, at the end of the day, they're toys. They're toys for billionaires. It's like having a yacht and asking that yacht to turn a profit every year. It's a toy. You were rich enough to afford it. Consider yourself lucky. And if you lose some money on it this year, too bad.
Yeah. I mean, a yacht's not a business the way a team's a business.
But a team's not a business. That's my point. It's a toy.
It is. It's a business.
It's not a business.
Sure it is. It employs a lot of people. There's business there. They sell things. They have a product.
There's people on the yacht that get paid to be on the yacht.
That's true. There are employees on the
yacht. Including the captain. I mean, it's not really a business. Like, it's not a business from the standpoint of the people who are in it need it to make money to be able to keep the team. Anyone who buys a professional sports team walks into it with their own money from the real world. They're not relying upon the team turning a profit to keep the team, or at least they shouldn't be. I mean, otherwise they shouldn't be able to buy the team in the first place.
Agree with that. But if all the owners treated it that way, then all the leagues would be in disrepair. You know, if they all just treated it like it was no big deal, it's not a business, it's just a toy, and who cares?
Yeah.
And there are some owners who do that, and the ones who do, I feel like get raked over the coals by their fans for the most part. But if they all treated it that way, then there'd be no leagues. It would just be a bunch of, you know, just be a bunch of crap.
Well,
they wouldn't negotiate these big TV deals. I just sort of feel like they'd say, yeah, to hell with it. Who cares? It's just a toy.
Yeah, know? I understand what you're saying. Like, if it lost money every year like that, I get it. But the reality is, first of all, people with that type of money, they don't make bad investments to begin with. So they realize that these teams in these leagues, most of the time, you know, because there's no competition, right? Like, who's the NHL's competition? That you have an antitrust exemption. It's not a real industry. And so you know you're going to, but you know, there are times, whether it's a luxury tax or whatever, there's times that you're going to have to lose money. You know, because the old North Dallas 40, you remember that book in the movie North Dallas 40? Do you remember that?
I remember the North Dallas 40. I don't remember the book, though.
So it was a book first in the movie. There's a famous quote in it.
Oh, I thought you meant a book in the movie.
No.
Oh, okay.
It was
you're
a book
just
first.
About the story. Gotcha.
But there's a famous quote in there where basically it says, every time I say it's a sport, you say it's a business. And every time I say it's a business, you say it's a game, you know?
So right.
Basically something like that. And I feel like that's what's happening with MLB. You know, they'll tell the players, oh, you know, this is a game and Americans need to see this game again. You should be patriotic and play. But then they'll turn around and say, whoa, we need a 50-50 revenue split. This is a business and we're losing a lot of money. It's like, which is it?
Yeah, and the baseball players union, as strong as they are, have done themselves no favors by letting Blake Snell and Bryce Harper and all
That's
these people
true.
Come out and
Great point.
Really sink them in terms of the PR battle here. Because Blake Snell, even though some of what he said I think was absolutely right, and I think some of what Bryce Harper said was pretty accurate too, it's just the delivery and the way it sounds and the way the message sort of lands is not a good thing to even really be discussing right now. And listen, speaking as someone who is still gainfully employed during all of this, I'm very uncomfortable talking about what I think when people should open and what businesses should be open, because no one wants to hear that from me. No one cares. No one cares what I have to say about it. I'm not going through it like people who lost their jobs or people who have had to suspend their business and things like that. And it's the same thing with Blake Snell. Like, no one wants to hear about your financial problems right now. Your financial problems don't really matter. And Blake Snell shouldn't be talking about it. But he's one of these, and I hate to say it because I'm one of them too, but he's one of these millennials who just go on Twitch and say anything.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Any little thought that comes into his mind, he's going to say it. And I mean, the owners, there's a lot fewer of them, first of all, so it's easier to close ranks. But really, they're winning the PR battle by not saying anything. And that's all they have to do. Just let these players keep talking, and everyone's going to turn against them. And that's what's happening so far.
You're 100% right, Arcan. And that I honestly think that was part of MLB and the owner's strategy in the first place when they did this. They put the pressure and they put the onus on the players to accept renegotiated terms in a 50-50 split, and they knew and they banked upon there being a Blake Snell out there who would pop off and say, I got to get my money, I got to get mine, which was part of what he said. And I agree with you, there were some legitimate points he made about risk and all that, but that all gets washed away by him saying in a really indecorous manner, I got to get my money, I got to get mine. That's all anybody heard, advantage owners.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And they have such a better argument than that. If they want to be public about it, if the players want to come out and actually make these sort of public statements, all they have to say is, we took a pay cut already. We already took a pay cut. Why do we have to do this and the owners don't? And that's not even, I mean, that's kind of disingenuous because the owners are obviously taking a hit too.
Yeah.
But who can afford it more?
Exactly.
That's all you have to say, players. You don't have to go on about how you're hurting or anything else. All you have to say is, hey, these billionaires can afford this. Why do we have to keep giving money back? Why can't they do it? That's all you have to say. And every single person will go, yeah, you're right.
And they could even frame it this way, which I think would the average person would understand too. they'd be like, oh, this is another corporate bailout for billionaires.
Right.
You know, why are all these big corporations getting bailed out? What about, you know, relatively speaking, obviously millionaires aren't the little guy, but in baseball, the players are the little guy.
They are.
So what about the little guy? Here's another, you know, industry basically asking to get bailed out by the employees, taking cuts or furloughs or whatever. I think if the players had framed it that way, they would have had a lot of people on their side. But when it's framed as, I got to get my money, I got to get mine, advantage owners all day.
Big time. Big, big ad for the owners there. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. We'll get to your phone calls right after this.
Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. On 98.5, the Sports Hub. You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub here, 10:37 a.m. on this Saturday morning. Arcand in for Murray alongside Chris Gasper as we discuss the reopening of sports. And for the first time, I think, since this all really started, I think there's a real roadmap to the beginning of some of these. Of course, with the NHL, they still have a couple of hoops to jump through, but they have approved the expanded playoff schedule in the NBA. It appears the players, not all of them, but some of them are talking about they're hearing practice will begin in June with a restart in July. And as for Major League Baseball, well, they still got some I's to dot and T's to cross as well. But they have given management a wide-ranging response to the 67-page proposal with a set of protocols for the season to be played. Management had presented the union and the 30 teams that proposed draft back on May 15th. So they're countering there. Major League Baseball, I think, is probably the one that's going to have the toughest time coming back, just because they're out of all the sports, the ones that have their players in their league pulling in such opposite directions. I just feel like that's going to be the toughest thing there. And I hear Felger say this all the time. He goes, I'm always on the side of the players. Always, always, always. But in baseball, I'm on the side of the owners. And it's like, baseball's the only sport where the players have any power. So it's kind of empty to say, yeah, I'm always on the players' side, except the one time when the players actually have a little bit of leverage and a little bit of power and they're actually exercising it. So I'm on the players' side uniformly, including right now with baseball. I don't think that their message is all that great. They need to work on their messaging, to be sure. But I do think that fundamentally that the players are the ones that I have the backs of. But unlike basketball, unlike the NHL, and unlike pro football, where the owners dictate everything, it's a lot more of a tug of war here. And I do think that in terms of the power that the union in baseball has, that is going to make this a lot tougher, because they just don't acquiesce. I mean, they did acquiesce to the 50% pay cut, so I won't say they never do.
Yeah.
But that, I think, was a big concession, and one that they did kicking and screaming, and they're not necessarily willing to go out and just do that again because the owners asked them to nicely.
Yeah, I would agree. Although the one thing I would disagree with you on in terms of MLBPA is I think we're looking at the historical reputation of the MLBPA, but the MLBPA under Tony Clark has acquiesced and capitulated quite a bit.
True.
I would argue too much. Like, look what's happened with the international signings. There's now an international signing cap. There's no more Daisuke Matsuzakas, who you have to pay, you know, whatever it was, $103 million for overall, and the guy gets like a $56 million contract. That's all capped now. And there's the slotting in the draft, and they gave in on the draft again. The draft's going to go from 40 rounds down to 5. You have the qualifying offers for free agents, which, as we've seen, like, weighs down free agency, these qualifying offers, and it's tied to draft picks. So they've actually done a lot of things the last couple of years to undercut their position.
Blowing out the minor leagues, too.
Yeah. Blowing out the minor leagues. They've done a ton of things. And that's why I think this is really tough, Arcand, because, to be honest, Tony Clark, I think, just needs a win. He's the executive director of the MLBPA. He needs a win because he's already ceded too much ground, I think, to the owners. And you look at the last couple of off seasons and free agency and what guys are getting, guys are not happy. I mean, if the MLBPA, if the rank and file could invalidate this CBA right now instead of waiting till 2021, they would do it. So the last thing they want to do is take another pay cut. And then the other part of this is the idea of a 50-50 split this year to the MLBPA, they're worried that they're opening the door to a salary cap,
right,
which is 100% something they're not going to do.
Obviously, they're not going to do that. But in a perfect world,
yeah,
does baseball need one?
I don't think so. Just looking at
what we're dealing with right now and going forward, I think this is going to take a big hit. Obviously, I think everybody's taking a big hit from this, but baseball was already in pretty rough shape anyhow. And I just sort of wonder if something like this without, you remember in 94 after the strike, baseball was in trouble there too, and then McGuire and Sosa rescued it with,
great point,
with steroids basically. I don't know that I don't know that there's something like that coming around the pipe here for baseball in 2021. But in the event that it doesn't, I just feel like they've taken such a big hit already that that's probably weakened Tony Clark's hand in a lot of ways.
But I would argue baseball already has a salary cap. They just don't call it that. When a team like the Red Sox basically sits out in free agency because they're that afraid of the luxury tax, I mean, you basically have a de facto salary cap. And even if you don't want to call it a salary cap, I don't think you need one. You have cost restrictions. Right, you have a measure in place that is lowering costs, and that's the luxury tax. Because when the big market teams are sitting it out and saying we have to reset the luxury tax, that in effect, if it's not a salary cap, it's accomplishing the same thing in terms of giving you cost certainty and putting a cap on costs.
Yeah, and that's true. I think that in the other sports, they do say you can't spend over the cap, but then if you do, you get penalized.
Yeah.
It's basically the same thing.
It's the same thing. Like, look at the NBA. Like, the NBA, like, you know I love the NBA, and I know you love it, too.
Mm-hmm.
But the rules are so, like, convoluted. It's like, here's the apron. Here's the hard apron. I mean, you know, B-Rob can speak to this. He understands this stuff, and I don't. Here's the cap. Here's the hard cap. It's like, well, no, you have this guy's bird's right, so you can go over the cap to sign him. It's like, you know, they have a cap, but I don't really think it's all that different from MLB when you really come down to it.
Yeah, it's not. It's sort of in baseball without there being a cap, the luxury tax threshold and everything, that's more of a recent thing.
Yeah.
But it's always sort of been spend as much as you want.
Yeah.
Go out there, you're an owner, you want to spend as much as you want on your team, you can go ahead and do that. But now that things are just so lopsided, which they were for about 20 years, we're going to start recycling that money and giving it back to the
But look at the major – when you have – there are teams that drive the market, Arcan. And in the last like 3 or 4 years, you've had the Dodgers – the Red Sox and the Yankees all sit basically essentially like sit out off seasons to a degree so that they can reset on the luxury tax and not have to pay as much. When those teams sit out, that has a cascade effect on the entire market for players because those are the big money teams that drive the market. Look at the Chicago Cubs, like the last couple of off seasons. You know, once they signed like Yu Darvish, it was pretty much like the Ricketts family told Theo, like, okay, you're done. Like, we're not giving out any big money contracts. That has a real effect on the market, and it essentially is like a salary cap.
So would you say that in terms of this negotiation here, that it's more important for one side to come out of this victorious? Obviously, Tony Clark needs a win.
He needs
here,
a win.
But at the expense of the season starting in a reasonable fashion here.
Well, here's
is it worth it, I guess?
Here's the brinksmanship, I think, if you're Tony Clark. The owners are telling you that they would make more money. They'd be better off financially if baseball wasn't played at all. If I'm Tony Clark, I'm like, I don't believe that because you wouldn't be agitating to play. So your gamble, if you're Tony Clark, is they need the season to start because they will make more money. It's more important for them to get the season to start than it is to wring these concessions out of us at the end of the day. That they'll pay the prorated, they'll lose more money and they won't like it, but overall they would lose more money and be worse off if we didn't play at all than if they played with us, our guys getting the prorated salaries. That's the gamble if you're Tony Clark.
Yeah, and it's a real gamble, and it's one that I think a lot of people are hoping it doesn't come to that.
I agree. I hope it doesn't either.
But it probably is going to, because it's baseball, and that's just nothing ever gets done easily there.
It's all brinksmanship.
And nothing might get done easily with these other sports that see baseball and hockey, or basketball and hockey, I should say, that already have their locations picked out and they're just waiting for the fine print to come through. They still have a lot of hoops to jump through. So this just adds more stuff to baseball's path that I think is going to make it very, very tough.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
So it's funny, before I'm saying there's no home ice advantage, but I know NHL is talking about having two hubs. What if one of the hubs is Las Vegas? So if the Golden Knights are playing there, isn't that like a big home ice advantage? I just thought of that.
It is, but it's not like the fans will be there cheering for them.
That's true. That's a good point. That's a great point. Yeah, I forgot it. There's no fans. So
do you think
matter.
They'll have that big show that they do? You know, the lightning,
show in the beginning?
Yeah.
That would be kind of cool, but then you have to let those people into the rink. That's more people that have to be tested and screened. And is the costume, the mascot costume, is that cleansed?
I mean, it would have to be.
Yeah,
I don't know. But, yeah, the knight skates out and, like, stabs a dragon
or something. Yeah, I've seen it. That was kind of cool during, the Stanley Cup when they played the Capitals to see that.
I was into that. They could do that for each team. They could have one for each team.
That wouldn't be bad.
Have a big bear come out and assault somebody, you know?
I still think that would be great, though, for the Golden Knights. You're right about the no fans thing. It's like, duh, what was I thinking? There's no fans. But it's also, like, great because it's like, oh, you know, we don't have to travel to some hub. Like, I'm just at my house. Like,
yeah.
Now I'm going to drive to the rink. Like, this is awesome.
Get to sleep in their own bed. I mean, there are advantages to that outside of the fans. I would agree with that. But, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what they end up doing. Vegas is one of the proposed hotspots. Arizona and Phoenix, they were talking about that, too. I know that early on Manchester and Saskatoon and some other places all kind of got shot down. But, yeah, I think that the locations and the lodging and all that stuff, that can be dealt with. They can do that. Leagues are good at that stuff. It's really just the health stuff that I think is going to be the biggest issue here. 617-779-0985 is your phone number. We got some, we got some big sporting events coming up tomorrow here. Big golf match. We'll talk about that next on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is Jasper and Murray.
You listen.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, 10:53 here in studio. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Arcand and Gasper here on this Saturday. We've been talking about sports reopening, as that is the major story going on right now in three of the four major sports. You certainly don't have any news from the NFL, as they do have some contingency plans in place, though you never know it from asking them. You have to really dig to find out that that's why they set the schedule up this way. There are contingency plans. They're going forward, but just in case. The NFL doesn't like that kind of language. They don't like the just in case type of language. They're doing all that very quietly. Meanwhile, these other sports trying to restart have to do it more out in the open, and that's what we've been discussing. Here, hockey just voting on theirs. The NBA looking like June to start practice, July to resume games, and Major League Baseball, of course, still chugging along with their negotiations. But the second biggest story right behind that, well, that would be former Patriots quarterback and current Tampa Bay Buccaneer Tom Brady and all of the all the trouble he's getting into down in Tampa, from breaking and entering to trespassing. He didn't.
The door was open.
They didn't press charges. But if they wanted to, it's a different neighborhood in Florida. You never know. Anyways, Tom Brady going down to Tampa, all that stuff that he's been doing down there. Gronk going and joining him, because that wasn't breaking and entering, Gasper, I know. But the big thing about this is that there's a new documentary coming out now. Tom Brady is putting together a 9-part documentary called Man in the Arena, which is going to come out sometime in 2021. B-Rob, do we have the trailer if we could here?
Realizing my potential has been what my career has been all about. Things that I've dreamed about have actually come true.
And the Patriots have won Super Bowl 36. Unbelievable.
Things have happened in my life as I kind of hoped they would happen. It's been, just a complete evolution. You know, how I just kept kind of fighting and clawing to continue to power forward. You just keep putting one foot in front of the other, and you keep trying to make progress. So when I look at over 20 years, I look how far I've come. But there's not one step that I took where I realized, look how far I've come. But those series of steps that I put together, I go, wow, that's quite a journey.
Okay, thank you, B-Rob. That's good. Tom Brady, Man in the Arena, quoting Teddy Roosevelt there, because it was painted on the weight room back in University of Michigan back in 1995, a Roosevelt speech about the Man in the Arena. That is Tom Brady's 9-part documentary on his life, and I believe each chapter is going to be one season where they made it to the Super Bowl, win or lose, all 9 of the championship seasons that the Patriots had, or Super Bowl seasons that they had, and it's going to chronicle all of them, I guess, maybe in order. I'm not totally sure, but that seemed to be what the press release was talking about. It is Tom Brady along with ESPN, along with Deepak Chopra, and Tom Brady's production company, 199 Productions. First of all, Gasper, I can hear it already. I'm sure that there's people getting ready to dial their phones and say, why are you still talking about Tom Brady? You have a bit of a beef with those people, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I just sort of think, look, Tom Brady is relevant because he's one of the most famous athletes in the world. He wasn't relevant just because he was on your team. So if you don't want to hear Tom Brady news, then you're going to have everything he does is relevant from an NFL standpoint. And honestly, because he's married to a supermodel, because he goes to stuff like the Met Gala, because he's shown up at things like the Grand Prix of Monaco, because he's known overseas, it's relevant from a pop culture standpoint. Tom Brady's a newsmaker. You know, it's like saying you don't want to hear about Brad Pitt. You know, it's going to happen. Like, and I understand the frustration of certain people. But the idea that, like, we shouldn't cover Tom Brady here, it's like, no, we're not covering Tom Brady just because he used to play for the Patriots. We're covering him because he's Tom freaking Brady. He's the most relevant. You could argue he's the most relevant professional athlete in the country. I mean, it's probably Tom Brady or LeBron.
Yeah.
So when you look at that, like, there's no way you can just suddenly turn off the spigot of Tom Brady news unless you want to just stop following NFL stuff, sports stuff, and pop culture stuff. So you sort of have to, I think people, you know, here are going to have to adjust. I understand that feeling of it's frustrating because he's not here anymore and you feel like he abandoned you and whatever you want to say there. But this idea that we shouldn't talk about him or why is there news about him or this, you're going to have to get over it because he's eminently relevant as a professional athlete and a pop culture icon. And that's not going to change just because he's not wearing your laundry anymore.
That's not going anywhere.
No.
It really isn't. And I got news for you, folks. When Michael Jordan went to the Wizards, they were still talking about him in Chicago.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was years after he retired. He unretired, went to the Wizards, and you think what? They stopped talking about him in Chicago? They didn't. They were still talking about him then. Absolutely 100%. And we're still going to be talking about Tom Brady here in New England, obviously. In fact, he's playing golf tomorrow with Peyton Manning and Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods, and you're all going to be watching it. So I don't want to hear from you out there about how, oh, stop talking about Tom Brady. We're all going to watch him play golf tomorrow. All of us. We have nothing better to do than watch Tom Brady play golf with Tiger Woods. We're all going to do it. So that's why we're talking about it, and that's what's going on. So
what are the teams in that, by the way?
It's Peyton and Tiger.
Okay.
Brady and Phil.
Oh, okay, Brady and Lefty, got it.
And Brady quipped that he was supposed to play with Tiger, but Archie Manning called and had the team switched.
Oh, really?
Yeah, nice little dig there.
I know, I was going to say, like, I feel like it would have made more sense for it to be Brady and Tiger.
Yeah, I guess. I think the point of this is you want to have one guy who's funny and interesting on each team. And in the golf case, it's obviously Phil. In the football case, it's obviously Peyton Manning.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know?
Okay, interesting.
Because Tom Brady's all those things that you just said. He's Brad Pitt, he's Met Gala, he's all those things. But he's not particularly fun to listen to talk, you know? Like, even in that trailer, I was my eyes started getting a little heavy there.
Just one foot in front of the other.
I don't know, man. Everything is just about going forward.
And
I was getting goosebumps, but I think that was more the music.
Yeah, the music did it.
The music was pretty good.
Brady, I feel like Tom Brady always says the same thing, no matter what he's talking about, whether it's about football or about life or about anything. It's always just everything's very positive. I have this very positive outlook. I'm a positive person. One foot in front of the other, just trying to get better, just trying to do this, just trying
to do that. But do you think...
It's always the same. Peyton Manning at least has... tells jokes and stuff.
But do you think Tom will change some of that now that he's in Tampa? Will you get to see more of his personality?
I thought the Howard Stern interview was going to be a pivoting point for him.
Okay.
I thought that was going to be Tom Brady trying to relate more to people in Tampa Bay. Exactly. Yeah. I thought that maybe that was what you're going to see there, and that's why he was doing the interview. We talked about that. Why is he even doing this interview?
I mean, he swore during that thing quite a bit.
He's sworn in post-game.
I guess so. I mean, I just thought there were a few times he was going to say some interesting things, and Stern just, like, cut him off.
That's true, actually. You're right about that.
It's like, what are you doing? Like,
he did talk about he did talk about Gronk's wiener, which was something.
Yeah, and he was about to say something about, like, I remember this. I don't remember it exactly, so forgive me on the details. But he was about to give some insight into, like, sort of his relationship with Belichick, and then Stern just, like, cut him off and asked another question.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I felt like Howard didn't really care too much about the football stuff.
I thought so. Yeah, the intrigue.
We kind of got through that, and we're like, all right, let's get to the Giselle and
the Giselle. I agree. Yeah.
Which, by the way, and I know Felger said this a lot over the course of the week, glad that all that's settled, right? Glad that she's okay with him going back to OTAs now, huh? seems like that's no longer an issue.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, you know, it'd be interesting to see how she feels about Tampa versus here.
Mm. Yeah. Grass isn't always greener, Giselle. It's a little warmer, but it's not always greener. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. We got more on Tom Brady. Is this documentary even a good idea? Should you be doing a documentary while you're still playing, a 9-part documentary after watching The Last Dance? Are you for this or against it? 617-779-0985 is the phone number. We have 90 seconds, no commercials, headlines, and then we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.